This town needs an enemy.
What are you?
I'm Batman. Get out! I can't wait to show you Lunch's toy.
That's not hello.
Do you mind?
You're the Batman.
Go! You, in the car! Let's find the Batman!
Welcome to Rain Man Digital's exclusive Batman fan show, Wayne Talk. You can find us on iTunes, Stitcher, Google Play, and Spotify. Be sure to add us to your favorites, leave us reviews, and bookmark our main page, rainmandigitalmedia.com. Hi, I, as always, am your host, Paul, and with me today, I've got Lauren and Steve.
What's up?
Honestly, we're just going to kind of jump right into this. We have a lot of movie stuff to kind of tear through. Last time we did a show, we didn't talk about a lot of it because everything DC is so rumor and nonsense most of the time that it's kind of not worth the time.
A lot of non-news.
Yeah. And so for the most part, I think we've got just about everything that's like fact and happening compiled here. So let's just tear through. I'm going to jump right in on Birds of Prey. So they have begun filming this movie. We've got a whole, you know, cast and everything set for that. Did anybody see the little costume and character tease that Margot Robbie did?
Absolutely not. Mm. No.
Perfect.
And right. I'm like upset about it that I haven't seen it.
Okay. Well, so there's a link in the...
And a phone in your hand, I believe.
Yeah. I'm working on it.
All right.
So the cast list here.
Yeah.
This is all confirmed.
Yes. There's also a few more than listed, but, you know, we don't know exactly who they're playing or any of that. So we've got, you know, of course, Margot Robbie returning as Harley Quinn. We've got Mary Elizabeth Winstead playing Huntress. I'm pretty stoked for that because I love her.
Mm-hmm.
Journey Smollett-Bell playing Black Canary. Got Rosie Perez playing Renee Montoya, which...
That one...
Sure.
Yeah, that one out of left field. I didn't know she was still in the business.
And honestly, I'd kind of prefer like almost anybody else, but we haven't seen her, so I'll give her a shot. Moving on, we've got Ella J. Bosco as Cassandra Cain. We've got Ewan McGregor as Black Mask, and Chris Messina playing Victor Zsasz. So in the trailer that I believe Lauren is watching right now, I already
watched it.
Little clip thing. Costumes look super casual, and I want to say that it's because a lot of the people in this movie are just like street level vigilantes. They don't necessarily have the funding or what have you to pull together. I mean, you see somebody walking around with a crossbow, they probably spent a fair amount on that crossbow, not paying attention to the rest of their outfit.
Yeah. Well, and even looking at, like you said, Ewan McGregor as Black Mask.
Mm-hmm.
I actually am really interested in that performance. Mm-hmm. I didn't know that he was officially cast. That's awesome. But again, street level kind of mob thug, you can get by. You just got to have a nice suit and a black mask, and
yeah,
you're done.
Well, and we haven't seen the mask yet, so we'll see how that goes.
I gotta stop. I'm so worried that they cast Black Canary as a black woman just because black is in the name of Black Canary, when they had such an opportunity to. I love their casting for Huntress, but they had an opportunity to tie it into the comics.
Yeah, the current.
And instead, they just decided, well, Black Canary has black in the name, and it feels cheap to me, and I'm bothered by it.
So being honest, I guess I got it all right in front of me, right? So I can just do a Google search, but seeing Journey Smollett-Bell, most of the pictures that I saw of her as Black Canary had like yellow, heavy yellow, like lighting and stuff in them. I did not realize that she was a black woman.
She's very fair skinned. She's on the lighter skin tone. But
I have not seen any pictures of her in costume at all. Like, not a single bit. And yes, I saw like her torso and that was it.
Yeah.
She apparently was in True Blood. That's the only thing that I see from her profile that mm-hmm. I recognize.
Yeah.
And I couldn't tell you. I don't remember her character in True Blood. Am I a horrible person?
No. And okay, so here's my thing. I see a picture here where I think someone's kind of like maybe Photoshopped this or whatever, and she looks amazing. And I think what I'm worried about is like not her being black, because I don't give a shit about that. That's not my issue. My issue is changing the character for the sake of trying to force diversity in. And I'm worried about what that will do to the integrity of the character and the integrity perhaps of like giving the actress kind of free rein, you know? I'm worried about them coming in with a I don't know, like a cheap sense of like, oh, let's black it up to bring in, you know, diversity. And that's not the right way to approach that. If she simply was absolutely the best actress that they saw and she happens to be a gorgeous black woman, cool, great. As long as it feels like Dinah, I don't give a shit.
It has to feel authentic. Now, I will say, now looking through some pictures,
she
was Michelle Tanner's best friend on Full House.
Look at that. Look at that picture. She looks incredible.
She looks badass.
And I am on board with that. I'm worried not about her and not about them casting her. I'm worried about the integrity of the role, and I'm worried about a cheap sense of diversity for the sake of it, rather than, we'll kind of tweak the role a little bit because she's black and because she was the best actress we saw, and by God, she deserved the role. Like Domino in Deadpool.
Mm-hmm.
They did an amazing job of being like, yeah, she's an amazing, gorgeous black woman. And also she's Domino. And they didn't feel the need to like, I don't know, like make it like cheaply black. Like just like, you know what I mean? Like shoehorning like black references or extra soul in there just because that's stupid. And that's not realistic. And that I feel maybe if I were black, that would insult me. I don't know. But I'm like, I just
like your first point in the New 52. They made Helena Bertinelli black and carried that over into Rebirth. So like actively in comics for the last, I don't know, 3 to 5 years, the character of Huntress has been a black woman. So, like, why not just run with that?
Mm-hmm. I worry, too, about things like, you know, you see tweets, you see, like, comments, like I saw one post floating around that was just like, name one black superhero without black in the name. And I was like, shit, like, I can, but shit. Oh, there's a lot of them.
There's a lot of them.
And some of the more popular, well-known ones, too. You know, like, obviously we've got, like, Falcon and, you know, Nick Fury is black now. And we've got, you know, Rhodey in Iron Man stuff. But, like,
Static
Black
Shock,
Lightning.
Miles.
Right. And that's fine and well. But I'm talking about current, like, Static Shock isn't so current for people anymore.
People fucking love him, though.
I understand that. But not everyone watched that cartoon. You know what I mean? Like, everybody watches Marvel movies.
Okay.
Everybody kind of sees the CW show, like, commercials, at least. They're, like, aware that they exist. And so for them, like, the leading people are, like, Black Panther, Black Lightning. Like, it's a little bit like, oh shit.
It's really on the nose.
Yeah, and I'm worried about a character like Black Canary falling into that.
Mm.
Yeah.
And so it pings a little like, danger. Please do good. Please do good.
Well, overall, I think they got a pretty, to your point, diverse cast. Like, I'm just looking through, refreshing my memory on who some of these people are. Some of them I don't recognize, but, you know, give it a shot.
The director, Kathy Yan, has done, like, her IMDb has her, she directed like 3 short films that were, I think, all just 100% like shot in and released in China. The Christina Hodson is writing the screenplay. She is also currently writing the screenplay for Batgirl. So
that's good. Hopefully there's some continuity and whatnot, because it's the same writer.
Yeah, we'll see. Because that's just a very, very easy thing. Seems like it should be a very easy thing to do, but we've gotten confirmation that there will be 0 Batgirl involvement in this movie. Or for anything planned, like DC is sticking to their guns about just not connecting anything anymore, which, like, I guess if it helps them release stuff, especially stuff that isn't bad, do what you got to do.
I just don't understand how hard it is to, like, get a writer's room. And
the fact that Marvel's been doing it for 10 years doesn't mean it's easy.
Hold on, though. Take Marvel out of the equation and forget that they don't even exist. Television has been doing this for decades. Television. Not just like one season of television. Many years of The Simpsons, like 30 fucking years of The Simpsons. Clearly, it's doable to, like, get a writer's room together and build out character profiles and continuities and build plot lines and make it. Whiteboard that shit out. I don't care how you do it, but do it. And they just have not been able to pull it together. It defies logic. So it's cool. If they want to do a bunch of standalone stuff, that's cool too. But there's still opportunity there. You can still write the ship. It's doable. My 2 cents.
I mean, I agree. And I think the biggest problem is that no one is taking Marvel out of the equation. And that includes Warner Brothers. And to a point, they should be thinking about it because it is their largest competitor. As far as, you know, the superhero, supervillain, anti-hero, comic book character movies are concerned.
They're setting the expectation for the audience.
Yeah.
And that's the key. Would you rather be the person setting the expectation or the one trying to achieve what's already been set?
Yeah. I think they've gotten themselves into too much of a pickle, let's say, by trying to live up to Marvel instead of just trying to create great movies that tell a great story and maintain the integrity of the character. They're trying too hard to shoehorn too much history, too much character development, too much attachment to their characters into single movies.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it's a bummer because we're watching characters that we love to see in animated movies, in comic books, kind of like get moments of greatness, and then, you know, we watch the rest of the country or the world or whatever kind of, you know, like a portion of it is like, yay, and then the other majority is just like, ah, this sucks. Like,
and that's got me worried about, I mean, really any of these like team movies. So we have to introduce Black Mask and Zsasz as, I anticipate, antagonists.
Mm-hmm.
We've got Huntress, Black Canary, I guess Renee Montoya, and Cassandra Cain, who is like a child in this.
Yeah, like child.
There's a lot going on.
We've got
here.
Like 6 characters, plus figuring out how Harley Quinn factors into any of this at all. If she's going to be like just anti-hero, or, you know, just doing her own thing and everything else is a meanwhile.
And is there any tie into Suicide Squad or any, like,
yes, because we've got the same character.
Right. But to your point, we have 6 plus characters now have to flesh out.
Right. And plus are we going to have to flesh her out too? Because what relevance is Suicide Squad going to have at this point?
Right. So, yeah, man.
So based on the name, like, have you seen the full name of the Birds of Prey movie?
Yeah, it's Birds of Prey and the, what is it, the Fantabulous Emancipation of One Harley Quinn.
You've already lost me.
So.
Like, in terms of title, like, what?
The everything after Birds of Prey is in parentheses.
Yeah, it's just like a little, like, subtitle, like the Aqua Teen Hunger Force, like,
colon movie film for theaters.
Yeah, okay. Like, it's like a little, like, sub thing. Like Fantastic Beasts, Crimes of Grindelwald. Like, it's a that sort of situation where it's like a subtitle.
Okay. But I think that
it's a mouthful.
It is, but I mean, it's being touted as Birds of Prey. Everyone's just saying Birds of Prey set photos hint at Harley Quinn and Joker breakup, like Birds of Prey, blah, blah, blah. So it's, yeah.
And I mean, that long-winded title kind of implies that she and Joker are probably on the out and out. I don't know if we're going to get any of that in this movie. Or if this whole thing is going to be like the aftermath from that. But yeah, last time we saw her, he broke her out of jail at the end of Suicide Squad. And now we're going to be here, however many years later.
Right. So do we just kind of pretend that that didn't happen?
Well, I mean,
there's
just
a lot to flesh out.
So they were planning to do a Harley and Joker, like just those two movie. And then they were also doing a Jared Leto standalone Joker movie.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Both of those have been scrapped. There's neither of those are going to happen anymore. I guess Harley is also like essentially confirmed to not be returning for James Gunn's Suicide Squad 2 as well. He wants like a whole new cast, which makes sense for the team. They are consistently like, you know, just whoever they can grab for whatever mission. But that's, I think, not keeping at least like Will Smith and maybe Captain Boomerang is going to be like, what reason do people even have to go see it?
I don't know. I had such mixed feelings about that one anyways. But I will say, you know, like we were talking before we sat down, at least we got Aquaman coming in from a good direction. Hopefully this picks up from that. I liked Aquaman at least, but hopefully they get some of that goodness and bring that into this. Fresh slate this bitch. Like,
yeah. I just saw something that I didn't see before. Harley is wearing a necklace with a like dog tag on it, like a little like dog bone shaped like puppy tag.
Oh, that you get at PetSmart?
Yeah, and it says Bruce on it.
So she's banging out Bruce now?
I mean,
we don't,
not like it would be the first time, right? So
we don't have a Bruce though.
Of course we don't.
There is
well, not
no
in the
Bruce
movie.
In,
yeah.
Well, in DC. In DC's film universe, there isn't a Bruce anymore.
Okay, but he was in Suicide Squad.
I mean, fair.
He was, but not anymore.
For like a scene and a half.
Yeah. Not anymore.
It definitely says Bruce.
It says Bruce. I'm not kidding. Like, look, I'll show you a picture.
Maybe that's like a...
It's hard to see from a distance, but it absolutely says Bruce.
Hmm.
100% it has Bruce engraved on it.
How would she know?
I feel like that's got to just be like a stupid little like Easter egg whatever thing. Because like the unrelated but similar kind of stuff you can spot... She's got like the word puddin tattooed on her leg in a couple places, and at least one of them is like crossed out in this movie.
Huh.
But the Bruce thing they wouldn't do for
no reason, right?
I don't know. Maybe she did figure it out or like someone told her or something because he saved her life, you know, in Suicide Squad. He absolutely saved her when the Joker was ready to let her die. And of course, he apprehended her because he's, you know, Batman. But
I'd like to know even if there's no real follow up from Suicide Squad, just what is the timeline here? Like, is it real time? Has I don't even know, like 5 years passed, or
I don't think it's been 5 years. But
I'm not.
It
good
feels
at
like an eternity.
Yeah. Suicide Squad was like 2016, so by the time this comes out. Which is currently scheduled to release February 7th, 2020. It'll be, you know, 4 years since then.
That's a long time, like, for films like this that even if they're not doing a direct connection, have somewhat of a connection to have that much of a gap between them. You know, people tend to forget there's so much media being produced on a daily basis.
You know what? I gotta say, though, if it was anyone else starring in this movie outside of Margot Robbie, I would worry about its success, but I think people will go see this movie even expecting it to be bad because she was so good and so hot as Harley.
Do you think that Suicide Squad did have the draw that it had because of her?
Yeah.
Okay.
At least partially.
Yeah,
I was gonna say
the same.
Like comic fans, like Deadshot was solid. And Deadshot, I think, could pull people. But just like hey, what's at the movies this weekend? Like, yeah, it was Margot Robbie as a sexy clown. Like, yeah. that's why people went to see that movie.
Okay.
And Harley
nobody knows any of the other characters in that movie.
Mm-mm. Yeah. Unless and Harley Quinn comics. Is a known character yeah. because of animated Batman stuff.
Yeah, and I think had they played up more of the traditional Harley Quinn, they may have even had more of a draw than they had already. And they made a boatload of money on that film as it was. But, I mean, if it was, most people don't know the Harley that she was portraying, right?
Yeah.
Mainstream folk, mm-hmm. anyway.
I think she was hot enough to, like, change people's minds.
I'm not disagreeing with you.
She's just, like, stupid, unreal good looking. And she did a great job of acting
yeah.
like Harley.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Exactly what I imagine Harley to act like personality-wise. Mm-hmm. A little bit airheaded, but not actually stupid.
She understood the character and like what she's gone through and yeah. stuff. Mm-hmm. And like the way that she, I mean, half the reason that the Harley and Joker standalone movie isn't going to happen is because she was so like against it unless it went in a specific direction.
Yeah.
Because their relationship is toxic as fuck. And she mm-hmm. wanted the movie to be about that.
Yeah. And I think
she wanted like fans to stop romanticizing the relationship. Mm-hmm. And it like people would come and talk to her and it would like break her heart because like they don't even realize that it's just the worst thing ever.
Yeah, it's not good.
Yeah, and I think she also like she took the time to delve into, you know, some of the comic stories and stuff like that and saw the progression of how like Connor and Pamiotti took Harley permanently away from being tied to the Joker romantically and being, you know, his lap dog. Mm-hmm. And they were like, oh yeah, she's had a thing with Ivy and like that's canon now. And just like, you know, they've progressively let her become strong on her own.
She's got a special lip gloss so that when they kiss, she doesn't die.
Mm-hmm. And so I don't blame
which lips?
Margot Robbie.
All
God
of them.
Damn it. Every single one.
All the important ones.
All the important ones.
I do think it's important though that she was sticking to that because it's a disgusting thing to romanticize in like just in jest, and it's fun as long as you recognize that it is a toxic relationship. It's fun to just be like, ah, like because they're two characters you know and love. Cool, mm-hmm. fine, whatever. But when you're actually like, this is what I want. No, you don't, you psycho.
Some women do.
I know, it's insane.
It is.
So, fun fact, the working title for the on-location filming of this was, well, I guess is because it's currently shooting, but Fox Force 5.
Nice. Little Kill Bill reference?
Yeah. Right.
Or no, Pulp Fiction.
Yeah. Pulp Fiction. Still
Tarantino either way.
That's nice. I like that. Who all did we see in the teaser?
In the teaser, obviously we saw Harley. We saw briefly Zaz. I hope they shave his head, but I guess it doesn't matter.
It matters. It matters to me.
We saw Ewan McGregor. Everybody that we said names for was in that.
I think I missed some of it as I was kind of trying to stay in the conversation and watch it.
Harley's outfit's tragic. I'm just going to throw that out there.
She's got two, but yeah, the one where she is a pom-pom is pretty garbage.
Yeah, what is she wearing? Her hair's much shorter now, too. It's kind of like a little pixie.
It's kind of like I just got out of a relationship.
And I cut it all off.
New hair.
Yeah. No, it absolutely is. That's like a...
Chippity chop.
Oh, I'm going to be a different person now. I'm going to get bangs. Like... That is absolutely what that is.
Yeah, it's...
I mean, and the pigtails and everything, it's just...
Mm-hmm. Everything's shorter and yeah.
Do we see Ewan McGregor in this?
Yeah.
I don't remember it.
Yeah, I'm scrubbing
slowly. The whole thing
slowly.
Is like 30 seconds long.
Yes,
but
19.
30 seconds long.
Mm.
19 seconds, it's very fast. But there's a lot of quick cuts and... Oh man, I think I missed it. Oh, there he is. He actually just looks like he was plucked out of Moulin Rouge and stuck on this set.
Which I wouldn't be surprised because he doesn't fucking age.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He's still a young looking dude. I dig it. So what other movies do we got coming
so,
here?
We also got that Joker movie that they like wrote, cast, and filmed in like a 6-month period.
Are they done
it's,
with
it's
like,
done. They're just editing it. It comes
right.
out in October.
It's in post. Wow. They did a pretty good job keeping, like, they teased out, I think, just enough to whet people's appetite.
Yeah, yeah. We know, like, what he looks like, and that's it. Like,
that's it.
Speaking of Domino, what is her name?
Zazie Beetz.
Yes, it is. She is in the Joker movie. She is, I don't know necessarily that she's, like, his love interest, but she is, like, a emotional connecting character to him. But yeah, I mean, yeah. So we've got Todd Phillips is directing it. He directed Old School and all three Hangover movies. So there we go.
That's interesting. So bizarre. I'm on board because
I loved Old School.
No, I mean, honestly, Old School and the first Hangover movie were great, and like, I think paved certain paths in comedy.
Mm-hmm.
So like super awesome. But whenever somebody has that type of let's say resume, and they're listed as the director for something like serious or something like dark and gritty, and all they've done is comedy before, I'm like concerned at first, and then I'm like, I want to know what you're going to do.
Yeah. Because
most comedians are dark.
So personally, whenever we're going through names and credits, the writer always means more to me than the director. I rarely care about the director. But with a director of, you know, comedic movies like this, I think we might just get a couple nice, I don't know, shots that might make you chuckle or at least smirk, like,
for
even
sure,
within a serious scene. And for a movie about the Joker, I think that could work out incredibly.
It
could backfire so hard, but it could be the best thing.
Well, and it's interesting, too. I mean, just looking at his resume, the director's resume, it's a lot of comedy, not just Old School and the three Hangovers, but there was a Due Date, War Dogs with Jonah Hill.
Yeah.
Really good film. I actually enjoyed it immensely. But to your point, it's like a lot of more comedic.
I have a weird, like, macabre sort of sense of belief in a comedian doing this dark movie about a murderous clown. Like, I something about it feels
correct.
There might be an evil genius to it. That
I think so. I think we're all going to be like, "Holy shit! I didn't know this guy had it in him."
Now the other guy, the screenwriter,
yeah, Scott Silver,
Eight Mile. I mean, great film.
And The Fighter.
Is that the one with what's his name? Oh, God damn it!
That was a Christian Bale, wasn't it?
Yes, and Mark Wahlberg.
Yeah.
Yes. Solid. Okay.
So from there, we've got, you know, Joaquin Phoenix playing the Joker. We've got Zazie Beetz playing Sophie Dumond. And that name is all we know about the character.
Yeah. Nothing. I did. Yeah.
I mean, the only thing that comes up is just that, like, everything says that she is the love interest of Arthur before he becomes the Joker.
Mm-hmm.
And that's it. That's all we've got.
It's very curious how much they were able to keep this really hush hush.
And I appreciate that, because I mean, the Joker is a dangerous character to give an origin story. So if any of that got out, that really, that's just like buckets of hate.
Yeah, they would be ripped to shreds, because people would have these preconceptions before giving the movie a chance, which I think is some of the most damaging shit that happens to movies these days. Mm-hmm. People get these ideas in their head. I've even done it before in the past where I've been like, I don't like the idea of that. And I got so heated about it that I was ready to hate the movie. And then I watched it and I was like, oh, okay. Like, and I was like, man, it's really not worth getting that worked up about it. I may not like something. I may be concerned or disagree with what I think is going to happen, but it could be totally flipped on what I think. And it could be something entirely different, and I could be wildly pleasantly surprised. So I'm so glad that they've kept it under wraps and everyone has kept their damn mouth shut about the script.
Honestly, I almost wish people would take a page from like the Old School way of doing things, where I don't want to almost see anything.
Yeah.
Until it's done and ready.
Yeah.
And then do a quick blitz.
That is what DC needs to do, period. Don't fucking talk about anything.
Nothing.
Until it's done.
Yeah.
Then start talking about it. Then show me trailers.
Keep everybody under NDA who's on production, who's cast, what have you, and don't say a freaking word.
Don't tease anything. Don't put out any story bits, like nothing.
I think part of their success in doing that with this movie was there was an interview with Zazie Beetz on, I think, MTV or MTV News. And just a couple quotes from her. She was like, "The script was great. We rewrote the whole thing while we were shooting it. Literally, we would go into the director's trailer, write the scene for the night, and then do it. During hair and makeup, we'd memorize the lines, then we'd do them, then we'd reshoot it 3 weeks later because Joaquin Phoenix had lost so much weight they weren't going to be able to do reshoots any later than that."
So there's something about what you just read there that scares me a little bit, right? So she starts off with saying the script was great. Then why did you change it?
Well, I think the changed script is what
she's referencing.
The end result, yeah.
And the rewrites were done by, it was her, I assume, Joaquin, the director, and then the actual guy who wrote Scott.
Mm-hmm.
All of them were the ones doing the rewrites.
But to me, that's very telling, right? I mean, you have to expect some ad-libbing or maybe a few rewrites here and there.
Yeah,
but
like
depending,
a lot, honestly, yeah, but for this.
Yeah, but if it's that extensive, the way she kind of leads you to believe, that kind of scares me a little bit. Like, was it not as solid as we had hoped, you know, when you first started production?
Or was it that they, you know, really only had kind of guidelines going in and they decided to take this weird, like, guerrilla, you know, take on it and do it that way. You know, we don't really know. I don't want to believe that someone would so confidently give up that information while saying the script is or was great.
Yeah.
If they were rewritten out of necessity or fear or panic. You know what I mean? Like I have to feel like if that was the case, if it was like, this isn't good, we got to redo it, they wouldn't want to give up that information as opposed to just being like, yeah, fair. It was great. Like, we had a great time. And, you know, it was just like this. We were in the trenches doing the thing.
But imagine you're a producer or you're a studio exec and you're hearing that these rewrites are happening the night of.
Yeah.
And it's happening every day of the. Yeah, I'd be shitting bricks.
Yeah. And maybe it wasn't even every day. You know what I mean? Like,
You calling Zazie a liar?
No, she didn't say they would go into the trailer daily. But she did say, you know, we'd go into the trailer, write the scene for the night and then do it. Yeah, I mean, I don't know. I've got this weird sense of like calm about this movie.
I want it to be good. Do not get me wrong. I want it to be good. And Aquaman, I just went in with zero expectations, just hoping to have a good time, and was pleasantly surprised at how much fun I had.
Sure.
Like, you know.
I really want to be excited for this Joker movie, and I'm trying not to let myself so that, you know, that same thing can happen. If it's terrible, oh well.
Yeah.
But I really want and kind of expect it to be pretty solid. So I guess I'm not doing very good at.
I was infuriated at the announcement of it. Not not based on anything other than how dare you give the Joker a backstory. But yet somehow, like, the fact that they're not trying to buy into any sort of like bullshit hype and they're just taking the character for a spin on its own and turning him into their own thing, I'm treating it like an Elseworlds story. If it sucks, it sucks, and I move on. But something about that and the fact that they're not cash grabby, like, look, we got Jared Leto, or like, look, he's purple and green, purple and green, purple and green.
How much was the budget on this? Do you guys know?
I don't.
No.
I'd be curious to find out what it was. Hopefully it does well. I mean, obviously I want all of them to do well so that we can keep getting more of them. But,
yeah.
You know, like I said, a lot of the movies lately I've been going in trying to curb my expectations and maybe only catching the first trailer. I did that like with Bumblebee. I don't even think I remember seeing the whole trailer for that one, or Into the Spider-Verse. I only watched the main trailer. I tried to stay away from all of it because I didn't want to go in with any kind of expectations and was blown away by both of those, you know. Bumblebee and Spider-Verse both landed on my top five for the year. They were so fun. And that's what I want when I go. I want to be taken away from reality and shown something fun or shown something I haven't seen before. So hopefully this is that.
Yeah.
That's what I want.
It doesn't seem like they're just pandering to greasy Joker fans. You know what I mean? And I... You know the type.
Greasy Joker fans.
You know the type, though. Like, that's a... Like,
are you calling me a greasy Joker fan?
No, you're not that
okay.
type.
Okay. He like, doesn't know the type.
No, there's some, like, there are those kinds of comic fans, you know, where they'll buy anything that's branded with that shit. And, like, they just have this expectation of, like, it has to be this specific version of the character that I know or it's not good. And
yeah,
I'm glad they're not pandering to this type of person.
That's not me. I've always liked pretty much, Leto aside, every incarnation I've ever seen, either in print or... Well, and I guess one cartoon version, that one that had dreadlocks back.
Yeah, I wasn't into that.
Right.
I hate all the cosplayers that make those costumes. If one of you was listening, I hate your costume.
I'll give them credit where credit's due if they pull it off because it's bringing something 2D
sure.
to life. And they
like
do pretty well.
At it.
You know, it's ugly. It's ugly. Good cosplay, bad character. So. What else do we got here?
Moving on from here. Kind of. Oh, I guess we're going to take a break. So we'll be right back, and thank you for listening. And we're back from the break. I hope you're still here. We appreciate you. You're the best. So transitioning right into a downer.
A downer?
There were some rumors about an animated Batman Beyond movie being in development, like some hard ones. Which was like perfectly timed with the series 20th anniversary, January 10th of
and
this year.
People were hyping it too because of the recent Spider-Verse,
yeah,
right?
Yeah,
they were
it sensibly was supposed to be like Warner Brothers' answer to that movie or DC's answer, you know, both.
Did you use sensibly and Warner Brothers in the same sense?
We got confirmation that is just 100% not a thing. There is zero Batman Beyond anything in the works. So,
heartbreaking.
Yeah.
What? I still like Kevin Smith's idea. I want to see that movie, and I want Michael Keaton to play old Batman.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It would be awesome.
It's everything
I know
you
can't always just give fans like what they want, but like this is one of the times when you can.
You can do it and you'll make a shitload of money if you do it well. I mean, if you do it shitty, you're not going to make anything. But if you do it well, it kind of writes itself. It's just.
I would watch Michael Keaton in damn near anything. He's one of those actors for me like Gary Oldman, where like I'd watch him doing just about anything and I'd be like,
yeah,
bravo. Well
he's
done,
really,
sir.
He's
like,
good.
Oh, man.
He's an actor's actor. Both of them.
Yeah, and I would be so on board with him as crotchety old Bruce.
He'd carry a hard time about everything.
He'd
probably have to put on some pounds, you know?
I mean, realistically, they could just give him like a puffy suit, too. Like, who even cares? Like, if you wanted to try to emulate that, like, Bruce Tim art style, but in a person... Yeah, just give him like a puffy ass sweater. Like,
yeah,
he'll be sitting in a chair most of the time.
right, looking kind of a little decrepit. But no, I think it'd be fun. It'd be so much fun. Well, that's bummer news. I thought we were gonna get a cartoon, and if it would have been anything like Spider-Man, it would have been awesome.
Incredible.
Damn.
Well,
and you said it's the 20th anniversary, yeah?
It was the 20th anniversary, January 10th. Yeah.
Wow. I remember watching. When I was in art school, I remember watching one of the first episodes. My roommate had recorded it off TV so I could come home and watch it. And
did you fast forward through the intro?
I didn't. Like the whole thing.
Because it's fucking good.
It's amazing. And I went to school for animation. So like it completely changed what my mindset was at that time. Because there really hadn't been anything done quite like that. And so I was like, wow, this is super cool. So yeah, it has a special place in my heart because of where I was in my life and when it came out. But I would have liked to have a movie.
Maybe someday they'll stop hating their fans.
take our money for the right reasons.
I'm going to pause you real quick. I just need everyone listening to know that I appreciate how Paul structured our show notes for this, because we're about to get into some real sucky, sad news. And then it ends with like, okay, pretty okay stuff. Like, break everyone's hearts. And then here's some good stuff, though. So, have a good day, Pat Pat. Like,
so, thanks for that. So let's go ahead and talk about the Batman movie. Director Matt Reeves' Batman movie.
Mm-hmm.
So we have a date. It is going to release June 25th, 2021. So like, honestly, like any day we should start getting casting this and that's like they need to have people to play these roles to make this movie happen. But things that we know so far, no Ben Affleck, just 100% Ben Affleck is done being Batman as of January 30th. He will not be back for Suicide Squad 2. He will not be back, period.
You think he'll ever do another comic related thing?
No, God no. He's been burned too many times. He gave an amazing performance as Bruce, as Batman. I thought he was amazing. He was everything I wanted from a Batman on screen.
In Batman Superman.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yes, I nodded. We're agreeing.
And he was let down by Warner Brothers, honestly.
We all were.
You put a great performance and a great casting into a movie. Yeah. And then like trudged through all this other crap and kept pushing back movies and doing this and that. And now we don't get Ben Affleck. Now we're being punished.
Yes, we're being punished.
The movie will not be based on the year one story. It is set to be a noir story centered around Batman's point of view, meant to be thrilling and emotional. The focus will be using his detective skills to give the character kind of an arc and transformation while he is tracking a criminal or criminals throughout the story of the movie. The movie name may change. I personally don't have an issue with the Batman.
Yeah, no.
I don't either. And you know what, though? Not that I want to see a year one interpretation. I don't think we need that. But going off that Bruce Timm, I would almost like to see them lean into the Art Deco. If they're going with a noir style, lean harder, go Art Deco, and give me kind of a Batman animated with real people. Not that it looks like that, but steal pieces from that to inspire.
Lean into the inspiration, yes, of that Art Deco Gotham, yes, and that very noir detective style. Like, if you're going to just totally change this movie and it's going to be standalone and it's not going to have anything to,
exactly,
do with Justice League and everything like that, get creative with it. You don't
That's
need to take
point.
It so far as Tim Burton.
No.
But, like, you know, reel it in from that craziness. And
hey, I still have a love in my heart for that craziness.
Oh, I do too. I just don't think that it currently has a place now in modern Batman movies.
No, but it could be done really freaking cool.
Sure.
With the right director. Do we have a director tied to it?
Yeah, Matt Reeves.
Oh yeah, that's right, Matt Reeves.
Yeah.
Plagued forever in production hell. That poor guy.
I think I really agree with you. Leaning heavier into I don't know, different comic series, maybe, you know, somewhere between some Elseworlds stuff,
mm-hmm,
and some, you know, just like mini series stuff, just anything, a little bit out of kind of the basic baseline of what everyone knows Batman to be, because a lot of general public people don't even like associate the word detective with Batman, the world's greatest detective.
Now, you got to give credit where credit's due, with, and they did it a little bit, I guess, in Batman versus Superman, but the Nolan verse, he really tried to do that where,
yeah,
it made sense, and I appreciated that.
Yeah.
We didn't really see it. We saw it a little bit in Tim Burton's, like just a teensy bit when he was, you know, trying to determine how the Joker was making,
sure,
the cosmetics and everything, but play up that, and that's what I really enjoyed about the Arkham video games, right? It's like, yeah, you got to be the detective, the world's greatest detective.
Bruce is fucking smart.
Yeah.
And he's really, really strong, but like disciplined, mm-hmm, which makes him an incredible fighter who's, you know, spent so long training and keeps his body at that level of prowess because he is devoted to this life. But he doesn't just like lean back on being strong.
Mm-hmm.
He wants to make sure he's smart, mm-hmm, and smarter than everyone else so that he can protect everyone. Like, there are some, right, huge things about his character that are paramount. And I mean, if you're going to lean on this detective thing, get into all of that. Get, yeah, into the grit of his character and why he's such a hard ass about certain things and closed off in ways, but just a big old softy who wants to protect everyone.
I was just digging around looking for my reference, but like DC has released I think it was like a one shot, really, but it was Batman Gotham Noir, and it was a very noir little crime tale with Batman, and it was written by Ed Brubaker, mm-hmm, who did,
oh, yeah, he is a noir,
yeah,
writer,
mm-hmm, he wrote
through and through
Criminal, he wrote the like recently ended Killer Be Killed. I really enjoyed like both of those. I would love if he did more Batman, but you know, either way, I think that is the perfect kind of thing to sort of take inspiration from, the perfect thing for this movie to end up being. There was even like a one shot we got at San Diego where it was like Turner Classic Movies. It was like a Turner Classic Movies DC crossover, and it was like Batman something.
I don't think I got that.
It was good. Like, I figured it would be like dumb, but I think Dan Panison, kind of good at names.
Okay. But yeah, I mean, Ed Brubaker is absolutely like a noir writer. That would I firmly believe that that's a noir like tale. He did Fatale and stuff like that too, and
Winter Soldier.
Yeah,
like, well, not necessarily noir, but I mean, if you're drawing from his works,
yeah,
I think you're on the right track. All right. Well, I'm interested.
So
I was looking at the Matt Reeves movie stuff, and it's just like, it's, I'm concerned after I get past all of like the, hey, here's the cool, neat story things and whatever that, and the ways we're going to change this. I, mm-hmm, get concerned when I start seeing WB wants a familiar face cast. Screw that. Come on. Stop it. Bank on the popularity of Batman.
That's a whole thing.
Matt Reeves wants a specific age.
Yeah.
He sounds like Goldilocks here. It says, what? He had two actors, and one was too old and one was too young.
One's too hot.
Into these. Yeah, Warner Brothers wants a familiar face. Matt Reeves wants a very specific age. He was given, he had two actors pitched to him. They were 7 years between them. One of them was too old and the other was too young.
What is he, Bryan Singer?
So it...
too soon?
Maybe.
I want to say he's probably looking for somebody around like 34 to 37. If he was pitched like a 40-year-old and a 32-year-old or something.
Yeah.
Hold on. And with those other rumors swirling, how old is our vampire boy?
Vampire?
You haven't seen those rumors?
What are you talking
you
about?
You don't want me to burst your guys' bubble, do you? They've been looking at what's his nuts from the Twilight series.
Robert Pattinson?
Yeah.
Ah, kill me.
Yeah.
Just end all of my suffering before it starts.
I hope you enjoyed this show. This will be our last.
Yeah, he's the one that's been rumored the last like week, give or take, that they're looking at him, and I'm like,
You mean that guy that did nothing after that terrible vampire series?
Yeah, and
you
know what?
He did one other movie.
Yeah, he did nothing.
It was a 9/11 movie.
Okay, he did nothing.
So you want to know what's funny? If you go to IMDb right now and look at Twilight, that guy's name isn't even listed like at all.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure he got like sick of all of it and like legitimately removed himself.
Yeah, he's not even. Oh, yeah, he is. You have to go to page two. That's crazy.
I think he honestly had that done on purpose, more than likely.
Maybe. So he was
got
born
sick
in
of all that crap.
He was born in 86. So that puts him, yeah, like 34.
Jesus Christ. If you Google Robert Pattinson's name right now, on Bing.com on this tablet that I'm on, the first thing that pops up, Kristen Stewart, Robert Pattinson, happily dating girlfriends, Sarah Dinkin, and whatever the hell the other one's name is, because it cuts off after like, oh, Suki Waterhouse. So like, this is years later. And this freaking headline is just talking about how these two co-stars who ended up dating, and it sounds like it was like they set them up to date because it would popularize the movies more, and it was like a whole publicity stunt. That's the rumor. That's like what they've kind of said. And then like this is so far removed from the movies, because Kristen Stewart had a whole affair with like another director and stuff like that, and that was 2013 according to this article. And now, like, this is totally unrelated. Stewart was spotted out and about with rumored girlfriend. And then, like, he was also spotted out with someone. Like, what?
So I will say this.
I don't blame him.
If you look through some of his images, I mean, he's had some crazy wild hair days. But he's got some photos out there. He has the look. I will give him that.
I don't think he's old enough. I don't think he's old enough for what Matt is looking for, based on my assumptions.
I don't think I take him seriously enough as an actor.
But we
not after what we've seen,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
Filming should start in November, so like really, we should be getting a lot of names, especially since Matt Reeves said there was supposed to be a rogues gallery of villains in this. We should start getting a lot of casting options. Well, not options, but like, hey, this happened.
We get the options? Yeah. I would like to have some casting options on this.
Okay, so speaking of options, does anybody have a shot? Like who
I would cast?
Yeah.
So if the wad hadn't been blown on Batman or Dark Knight Rises, I would have went with Joseph Gordon-Levitt. That would have been my pick. I know he could put on the pounds, but again, I have a look in my mind's eye of just the face of how someone can look, and he has it. Just give him a little bit more hair. He had it cut pretty short in that movie. But I could buy him, put him in a nice GQ suit, because for me, you can bulk up, and you can put on the muscle mass, and once you're in that cowl, pretty much anybody, in my opinion, could be a Batman.
Mm-hmm.
It's pulling off the complexity of Bruce when the cowl's not on. That, to me, is more of the challenge. So you got to have somebody that can wear the suit, carry themselves, and to Lauren's point, have that sharp wit about them, have the smarts about them, the detective skills, and I think he could have done all that. But we can't have him because we already used him, as it were.
Honestly, I don't think that's like out of the question though.
Maybe not,
because like time has passed, and like realistically, most of his role and involvement in that movie was like fan speculation anyway.
Mm-hmm.
He was just a cop in a couple scenes, and everyone was like, oh, this and that.
Well, he did end up being Robin.
I mean, he didn't also, though. Oh, yeah, like, because his fucking name, but I hate the Nolan movie. I'm not good at casting people. But based on like age and look, which is, you know, the things that I feel like the only real stuff we have to go on right now for what they're looking for. If he trims the beard down to like stubble.
Zach Galifianakis.
Yeah. No, I'm going to say John Krasinski.
Is he not the one
that's a Quiet Place?
But is he not Shazam?
No, that's Zachary Levi.
That beautiful, wonderful.
I confuse them. To me, they just look like the same.
They look similar, but if you put them next to each other, you'd be like, oh, okay.
You'd be able to tell which one was like an adult man and which one was a large child.
Zachary Levi's the large child. Yeah. I love him.
Okay.
He looks like a large little boy. He's got John Mulaney thing going on.
Okay.
He's precious.
Okay, I can buy that, I guess. What about you, Lauren?
I mean, I could buy it knowing that he has more in him than The Office. You know, like after seeing A Quiet Place, did he write and direct, or just direct, starred in that movie?
And directed his wife.
Yeah, which is...
And they didn't even get divorced.
Yeah, not even.
No, and then she did all the crying stuff on stage when she took her award home thanking him. It's a very cute situation there.
That's nice.
Yeah, it's good stuff.
But I believe that he has... I mean, first of all, just like him bulking up over the past like few years, people have been like, is that, oh, hey, what's up, dude? You're not some scrawny white dude in an ill-fitting button-up shirt anymore. I don't know. I mean, I don't know if I'm like boarding that train and like, you know, that's my only idea, but...
Mm-hmm.
I wouldn't be upset upon hearing it. I'd be like, okay, I'm interested to see how he would do.
I almost feel that this is one where maybe it would be good to have a no name. But there's nothing attached to it.
The studio is going to
Of course push. They're going to be what they are because they want to make sure that their investment's secure or whatever. But that just goes to show you how risk averse they are. Which is too bad because if you did more of that noir and you went heavy on it and cast a no name, you don't have to make it $100 million budget. Peel that back a little bit, make it a smaller picture. It doesn't have to be a massive budget. Yeah. Maybe try something different. But even if you did want to put all that money into it, again, try something different. There might be an actor out there that nobody's heard of that could just absolutely slam dunk it. But if you're just going to rely on the big names, you won't know.
Well, again, with casting or with filming supposed to start in November, hopefully next time we do a show, we'll actually have some names to talk about.
It's a long ways down the road, November.
Yeah, honestly.
But I mean, they'll probably want to be able to like hype and test names, throwing them out at like the cons coming and stuff. So,
and how long have we been in production hell on this one? It's been a while.
Since like right after Batman Superman came out.
Jeez. And so now another 9 months from now, we'll hear something hopefully. Yeesh.
But I think that's going to call it for tonight for the show. So thank you everyone for listening. And we'll be back with some more at some point.
Blah, 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 blah. All of that chit-chat's gonna get you hurt.
Oh, my God.